This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Andre Dight, who has a degree from a United Kingdom agricultural college, breeds and shows canaries for the pure joy of it. He and two of his canaries, whom you'll hear trilling in the background, recently came in to talk with me.
There's approximately 35 different breeds of canaries that you can keep. And the ones I've brought in today are American singing canaries. So they are a homebred version that was originally bred up in the Northeast in about 1935 by a group of women from Boston. And they crossed a famous German singing canary called the roller canary with an English border canary, which is a type canary that's kept for its shape, its appearance. And they developed this singing breed with the purpose of providing the household with beautiful song and a pleasant companion.
Now, when you talk about the English border canary was known for its shape.
That's correct.
What was so spiffy about its shape?
Okay, well, if I was to step back a second, the canary finch that was originally discovered in the Canary Islands was domesticated in about 1500 in various parts of Europe. And it moved around. It was brought in Tudor times to the UK. And in England, it was miners who became fascinated with them and used them, took them down the mine.
The canary in the coal mine.
Absolutely. And they had a very real job to do. And they kept them in their houses. And they really enjoyed them for their looks, most of all. So various regions of the UK, such as Norwich, Lancashire, Scotland, the borders, they bred their own different styles of canary. Meanwhile, on the continent, miners in Germany looked after singing canaries, and other parts, especially down in Spain and in Italy, they keep coloured canaries, so they breed them for their colour. So there's three different reasons to keep them: song, colour, or type.
Back again to the question about this spiffy English border canary with the shape. Can you describe that shape?
Yeah, they look almost like miniaturized American robin. They want to have a reasonable tail and a round, plump size and a bright eye and a sort of rounded face.
Let's park talking about canaries for a minute and talk about you. Is it fair to say you're obsessed with canaries?
I'd like to think I'm just passionate and interested in them rather than being overly obsessed.
What would your wife say?
She thinks I do a fairly good job of keeping it under control. I've never had more than about 80 at any one time.
80?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's quite a lot to deal with. So I try to keep the numbers closer to 25 or 30.
So you and canaries, when did this start and why did it start?
I guess it began when I was a child. I always wanted to be around animals. I was interested in nature. And I was forever begging my parents to keep pets.
Where were you a child?
This was back in England. I grew up in both Wales and in England, moving around with my family. And my parents did a very good job of not allowing me to keep all of the wonderful pets that I would like to have had. And one day, my father came home. I must have been about 12 or 13. And he just made the comment that he'd been to see a friend's garden and there'd been a beautiful aviary with some very nice singing canaries. And that was the only encouragement I needed. And so I immediately, not even knowing what a canary was, said, could I have some? And he took me to the local pet store and we bought a pair, which I then kept in my bedroom and bred.
And bred.
And they were roller canaries. They were a singing canary. And so, yeah, I kept them in my room and used to creep to bed with the lights off so that I didn't wake them and disturb them in the middle of the night. And the windows would be open or curtains, so I'd have my own little dawn chorus in the morning. I just became very interested in them then.
Was it difficult to breed them?
It's not actually very difficult. I learned from reading a couple of books in the library, going to see somebody who gave me some tips. As long as you're conscientious and you look after them, tend them, they're robust, healthy little birds generally.
12 or 13, you have bred a canary.
Yes.
And it went well. And then what happened?
I guess I had a few teenage years where I was more interested in other things. But then I went to university. I started when I was 23. I'd been working for a few years beforehand. And when I was at college, I decided I wanted to keep these roller canaries again. So
because
when I've had them, I've really enjoyed their song. It's uplifting. it's just a very gentle pastime. There's always a different time of year. There's something else going on with them. So you're either breeding them, or they're shedding their feathers, going through their molt, or you're preparing them for songs. So the year sort of progresses very enjoyably. So I just wanted to keep them again. I got some, I joined the Roller Canary Club in the UK again, and I started to breed them. And then I actually chose to study their genetics for my thesis at college. I actually did a very big project on the genetics of the song inheritance of the roller canary.
The song inheritance?
Not all canaries sing the same way. So just like any breed of dog that's reared for certain attributes, the same is true of canaries. The roller canaries has named different song passages, and I wanted to see, was it necessary to have the best bred birds, or were the best winning canaries ones that have been trained ready for the show?
Wait a minute. Winning canaries and show?
Yes.
You were showing canaries, or what?
Yes, I got into the showing canaries. I was always, as I said, was interested in animals, interested in breeding, interested in maintaining them as best as I could. And if you want to develop a stud of your singing canaries, you really need to have them in competition with other canaries to tell whether you've got good ones or not. So I wouldn't have considered myself particularly competitive, but it was just an interesting dynamic that seemed to be worthwhile. You know, keeping them all year, might as well enjoy camaraderie of fellow enthusiasts. So yes, I entered them in competition.
And you did your thesis on what?
Yeah, well, again, I was at agricultural college, and uh-huh. and there was a certain amount of rancor from some quarters that I would choose such a subject. I, in fact, had already written the first chapter on a sort of basic history of the birds when it was challenged whether I should do this subject. But luckily, once I spoke to the tutor who's in charge of genetics, he thought it was a most suitable subject, because clearly the principles apply equally to wheat or corn or dairy cattle as they do to any other sorts of livestock. And there were two things I had in my advantage. First of all, because you had these named tours or song passages that could be marked down, there was actually something that you could measure in the birds in their performance. And secondly, most breeders keep very accurate pedigrees, so you know exactly who the parentage is. So I was able to compare birds that were closely related to each other against birds that weren't.
You talked about named tours. What was that word that you used?
A tour.
A tour. What is that?
For the roller canaries, you break down their song passages into distinct notes and small bells and rolls, they call them. And those put together make up the whole song. But they're distinguishable song passages that the judge can actually identify.
And are some bells and rolls more highly valued than other bells and rolls in competition?
They are indeed. With roller canaries, there are some hollow, deep bass rolls that are most enjoyed, almost like the purring of a cat. While with the American singer canaries that I've kept in the US, you're allowed a lot more freedom of different song passages. They're more interested in the overall performance of the bird.
And your thesis, as I understand it, was on whether stellar performance was nature or nurture, training or heredity?
Absolutely.
And?
Well, there were certain song passages that seemed to be distinctly bred for, but the overall winning birds were from studs where they'd been trained properly. And that makes sense, because however well bred the bird is, if you haven't got it prepared for shows and it sings on command, then the judge is not going to be able to give it its full marks.
We've most of us watched the Westminster Dog Show, dogs going through their paces. Similar for canaries?
Well, I took my wife to her first show a few years ago, and she told me she really had wished that she'd been able to bring a documentary crew. The characters involved very much like the movie called Best in Show.
Yes.
You have a distinct band of different people who are varyingly interested in their birds, and you have some very interesting characters and some competition and also a lot of fun.
Would you describe yourself as a serious competitor in the Canary Showcase? What do you call these competitions?
They're called Canary Song Shows. No, I'm very much an enthusiast. I think the majority of fellow Canary fanciers that I go and visit with and share car rides up to different shows, we just enjoy the birds and are equally pleased whoever's birds win. There's one or two who are incredibly competitive and use some of their own special knowledge and tricks to their best advantage. But the majority are just enjoying the camaraderie of fellow canary people.
Is there something that canary people have in common other than their canaries, or are they a diverse lot?
I think we're both diverse and very similar. Most of the people I know, we also enjoy gardening, other pets, have very regular jobs. But on the other hand, it's interesting, and this is something, again, my wife pointed out to me, at the shows I attend, there's a lot of people like myself who don't originate from America. So Italians, people from Eastern Europe, some from the Arab countries. And I think we all have a history back where we came from.
You came to this country, you said, in
2003, yes.
2003. Did your canary keeping escalate after you got here?
Well, interestingly, after agricultural college and winning a National Student of the Year award for my canary project, I actually had to give them all up because I got a job in the poultry industry and became a manager looking after commercial turkeys. And one doesn't keep pet birds if one looks after commercial poultry.
4 years ago, now living in Harrisonburg and working for a renewable energy firm that turns chicken poop into a heat source for chicken houses, Andre Dite relaunched his competitive canary breeding career.
If you're going to keep them for competition, you need to have very specialized bloodlines. So I went and I got in contact with the local club, which is our nearest up in Baltimore, and had a huge amount of help from my fellow club members, giving me the right breeding stock and helping me understand the show scene. And
There is a scene.
Absolutely. Up and down the East Coast from sort of September through to December, every weekend you'll find people traveling to different school halls and church halls, hotels to compete their canaries.
You were talking about you sort of got cranked up again. What kind of a setup did you start with?
I managed to get two males and three females, and all of my birds have been bred from those originals.
Really?
Apart from, I've had about two others since then that have come into the flock.
And did you pick those original five from their bloodlines?
Yes. Well, they were picked for me. I asked the breeders, and they selected the birds for me.
And you said, I want a bird that can do this or that?
They all really kept for the same song, so it was just ones that performed well. They certainly do have their own personalities, and some you want one that wants to have a bit of showmanship, that will sing at the drop of a hat and show off to the judge.
There are canaries that are hams in other words?
Absolutely.
You'll find pictures of Andre Dite's canaries and a couple of interesting canary links on the Spark page at WMRA.org. All the little birds on Jaybird Street look to where the robin go tweet, 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 robin, robin, tweet, tweet, robin, robin. Back after a break with documentary filmmaker Tom O'Connor.